As you and I live in this old world today, we are often those that are looking and planning and getting ready for the future. We have to think it is the same with adults. It's the same with children. Often, perhaps, you'll speak to a little child and you'll maybe ask them what they want to be when they grow up. And they'll maybe give you an answer that may change many times over their lifetime, but they are thinking about the future. And it is human nature. We like to think about tomorrow. We like to make plans for the future. We like to think of next week and next year, and perhaps with anticipation, make plans of where we might be or what we will be doing. That young person, as they go through the education system and they get to their GCSEs and into their A-levels, no doubt they and their parents are talking about the future. Where is it going to take them? What does it hold for them? In what direction would they like to go? And there will be plans made with that all in mind. And it is good to plan ahead. It is good to think about the future. It is good to make preparation. And yet we are reminded as we come to the Word of God that while we make preparation in a secular sense, yet there is to be preparation spiritually. While we may look at life, we may look at the business, we may look at the home, we may look at the family and think about the future, yet when it comes to the things of God, we ought to think about the future there as well. Perhaps there are those in our meeting this morning and you're unconverted. And for you, as you think about the future, God does not form a part of it. We would encourage you today, we would pray that God would intervene in your life, that you might come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you view the future, that you might go forward knowing Him as your Savior and as Lord and Master of your life. For those of us that are saved, as we look at the future and think ahead, what are our plans concerning our walk with God? Is it our desire and the time that lies before us to become more acquainted with the Word of God? To increase in knowledge of the Scriptures, to perhaps memorize portions of it or verses of it? Is that our plan for the future? Do we plan to read books that give us insight into the lives of old saints of God of a bygone day? All of these are questions that we might ask. So often we can get tied up with secular things, and yet in our spiritual walk with God, there is little preparation or little thought made for the future. As we come to this portion of Scripture in the book of Joshua in the chapter 14, we're introduced to a man by the name of Caleb. And there, as we look at this individual, we find that he is one who had great plans for the future. He is one who was not content just to settle along with life and just go along very steady. He was looking ahead. He had plans and designs for the future. He had places that he wanted to be. He had things where he wanted to be doing, and they were in relation to the things of God. He was a most remarkable individual. As we read the chapter together, you would have learned as we read it, the verses there, that he was 85 years of age. If you look there at verse 10, at the end of it, it tells us he was 85. And yet when you come to the verse 11, it gives us a remarkable insight into his physical life. Because here Caleb says of himself, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in." Here's an individual, and at 85 years of age, he says, "I'm as strong as I was at 40. There's very few could say that today, perhaps. But he had that remarkable strength, and it was attributed to the goodness and to the grace of God in his life. As we think of him here at 85 years of age, no doubt there may be those who be saying, well, his life is nearing an end. What plans could a man called Caleb have at that time of day? What plans could he have for the future? Surely he should be settling down and getting ready to wind down for the latter years of his life. And yet as we look at the history books, we find that there were many things done by those in those latter years of their life. We read of Galileo, the famous scientist, and at 75 years of age, he released his observations on the moon, things that we still agree with today. There is a philosopher of bygone day by the name of Kant. He wrote several of his greatest works there at 74 years of age. Gladstone, one of Britain's prime ministers, was elected for the fourth time to reign or to rule as prime minister at the age of 83. So because of the number of years, it's no reason to say that there's nothing that we can do for the Lord. But we want this morning in particular to draw your attention to the words that are found there in verse 12. Because there, as we look at verse 12, we find that Caleb, this 85-year-old man, he comes to Joshua and he says to him, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. Thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then shall I be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And for a few moments this morning, I want to draw your attention to this individual. I want to draw your attention to that desire that was in his heart, that desire to not merely settle down at 85 years of age, but to gain a mountain, to do a work for the Lord, to climb a mountain and to win it and to conquer it for the nation of Israel. As we look at this passage, first of all, we want to draw your attention to the history of this man, Caleb. He's one that many are familiar with. The little children in the children's meeting, they will sing the chorus and they will sing of the spies, that 10 were bad, 2 were good. This man, Caleb, was numbered amongst those 2. It was him and Joshua, faithful men of God. And as he attests here in his own words at the end of verse 9, he was one who wholly followed the Lord my God. He said he was 40 years of age. Moses dispatched them there into that land of Canaan. He had that duty, that responsibility, along with others, to scout out the land. They were going there to gain intelligence, as we would think of it today. They were going out to find the strength of the armies that were there, to find the number of their forces, to find the size of their cities, and to seek out weak points where they could conquer the various cities that were there and win that land for the Lord. As he went out, along with others, we find that there were those, and as they came back, they brought a different report. Numbers 13 in the verse 32, it tells us, in fact, that of the 10 spies, that they brought an evil report. It was an evil report, and that what they said, they neglected to include God. They said, yes, it's a land through which we've gone to search. It's a good land. There's food in it, but there's great cities. The city walls are extremely high. There's giants in the land. We could never conquer it. They come back and they bring to Moses and to the leadership of the nation of Israel, they bring back this evil report, a report that discourages them, a report that's disheartening, a report that knocks the very heart out of them, because then they refuse to enter the land. And yet when we read of Caleb and Joshua, we find that they look with a different eye. They said the land was good. It's an exceeding good land there in Numbers 14. And in the verse 8 they say, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flowed with milk and honey." Yes, the 10 spies that were there, they were right to a certain degree. It was a land that had fearful inhabitants. It was a land that had vast cities and large cities with great walls, such as we read of Jericho. But yet these 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, they were individuals with faith. As they considered the obstacles of the land, as they considered the difficulties of the land, they recognized that with God beside them, that they could conquer anything. And as we look at the work of God, as a question that we have to apply to our own hearts, are we the very same? Sometimes it comes to our hearts that when we view the things around us, we see the difficulties, we see the obstacles, we see the hardships. And yet with God in our heart, with God strengthening us and leading us and guiding us, we can overcome every obstacle that were there. As you think of the consequences of these 10 men and their lack of faith, they hindered the whole nation of Israel. For 40 years, the Bible tells us, they wandered there in that wilderness until that generation was all gone. There was a generation that could have entered the promised land. There was a generation that could have enjoyed its blessings, and yet because of their lack of faith, because of their lack of trust in the God of heaven, they wandered until they died in the wilderness, apart from 2 individuals. This man, Caleb, and his friend, Joshua. You know, as we think of it, we think of their lack of faith and the consequence that it has, and how it beholds each one of us to keep our eye fixed upon the Lord. Even as Peter there, we see him, he kept his eye on the Lord and he stepped out of the boat and he walked upon the water. So it is for you and I. When we keep our eye on the Lord, many things can be accomplished. But we need to be looking at him. Proverbs 29 in the verse 18 reminds us there, for where there is no vision, the people perish. And that was the case in the children of Israel. And these 10 spies, there was no vision, there was no thought for the future of how it could be accomplished with God. And how easily we can be the same. How easily in our personal life we can allow the difficulties that are there to hinder us from doing those things that we could do to work for the Lord and to serve the Lord in various roles. How easily we can get discouraged and disheartened. These 10 men and their faithlessness, their unwillingness to face the trials and the difficulties of the future, cost a generation of people. But here as we look at this chapter, we have this man called Caleb. And now he's aged 85, and perhaps as we look at him and consider the strength that he speaks of, perhaps God has given that to him, that he might now enjoy the blessings in the land of promise that he missed out on so many years earlier. God has preserved him. God has strengthened him that he might go into this land. As he comes to this man Joshua, we see here the petition that he has upon his lips. We see the decision that he desires here. He desires to take a mountain. We could have looked at him and said at his time of day, you would think he'd been looking to settle down, take somewhere level, somewhere even, but he desires a mountain. There is an enthusiasm, there is a zeal, there is a passion that is to be found in the life of this man, Caleb. There's something else as we look at him. We find even as you look at his name there, he's described as Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. The Kenizzites were descendants from the line of Esau. Kenaz was the son of Esau, and we learn that there in Genesis 36 and verse 11. So this man, as we look at him, Caleb, he wasn't descended, as it were, from the line of Jacob, but from another line. And yet there was within his heart that zeal and that desire and that trust in God. And what a challenge that was to the other spies that didn't look upon God. They who had that godly heritage, and yet they neglected to include God in their calculations. As we read in this chapter, we find that every individual was to, within the tribe, they were to get an inheritance in the land. It tells us of the various tribes there in the opening verses. The only tribe that weren't to obtain an inheritance were those of the tribe of Levi. And it is as part of that that we see Caleb approaching on to Joshua. And he says to Joshua in that verse 12, give me this mountain. He said, Moses in the past had promised me that I would live in this land, I would walk in this land, and here's a mountain. Give this to me as part of that promise. Give that to me to fulfill that promise that Moses made earlier on. Here's a man, and as we look at him, he's desiring to climb. He's desiring to get higher. He's not content to dwell merely on the level ground, but he wants to get that little bit higher. You see, there was something different about Caleb. There was something different both about him and about Joshua. As we said earlier, they were men that wholly followed the Lord. But there in Numbers 14 and the verse 24, we're told, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went. As Moses viewed these men, there was a difference. There was a spirit within them. The power of God was evident in their life. It was evident in their conduct and their behavior and everything that they did and everything that they desired. And what a challenge that is for you and I today as God's people. That even as we live for the Lord day by day, that we might be those that are filled with the Spirit of God. That we might be those that overlook all the obstacles that are there. And while we observe them with the natural eye, yet that we view God in all of these things. Here's a man, and he's not afraid of trouble. He's not afraid of trial. He's not afraid of difficulty. As we think of this mountain, it brought with it many difficulties. It brought with it many enemies. We're told there in the verse 12 that the Anakims were there. Those were the giants. We think of Goliath, and he was connected with that family. The Anakims were the same group. All of these giants that possessed the land, Caleb knew they were there. And yet he still was going on. Man, if that was you or I, perhaps we'd have been thinking twice. Is there not another portion, maybe where the enemies just aren't as big, where the cities just aren't as tall, where they're not as well fenced, where things are a little bit easier? When we read the history books, we read of John Knox, and we're It's recorded that when he returned to the land of Scotland, after being exiled, he entered the land, and there he fell upon his knees in the land of Scotland, and he cried, "O Lord, give me Scotland or I die." And there we see the devotion in his heart. He was willing and desiring to see Scotland won for the Lord, whatever the cost. As you read his life, it cost much. Many times he was beaten. Many times he was imprisoned. His reputation was gone. He was harassed by the enemies or by the crown forces that were there at that time. And yet he persevered that he might see a work of God established there in the land of Scotland. So the same spirit is to be found here as we look at this man, Caleb. He sees the mountain, he sees the giants, he sees the cities, but yet he's going to press on. As we look at this man, we see that what he asked for here, it displays a determination. Someone made the comment, it says there's a powerful individuality about the man who chooses a mountain as his ideal possession. The mountain means climbing. The mountain means hard work. This is the mountainous region of Hebron, while others could have picked the plains. He chooses the mountain. When we look back at Genesis, and there you think of Abram and Lot. And they're coming out, and there's not sufficient water. There's not sufficient grass for the herds and the flocks that they have. And Lot is given the choice. And we're told that they chose the well-watered plains. What a contrast in the life of Caleb. Caleb goes for the mountain. He says, "I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm not afraid of climbing. I'm not afraid of the giants that live in that land." But he embraced the challenge that was here set before him. There was that determination that is to be seen here in his life. So was God's people. There ought to be a determination in our hearts. A determination that whatever the old world may throw at us, that we will still maintain our witness for the things of God. A determination that whatever obstacles the old devil may throw in our way, that we will remain faithful to the God of heaven. Oh, how easy it is to get distracted. How easy it is to turn aside. When you read the book, Pilgrim's Progress, there he talks of that slough of despond. He talks of Bypath Meadow and how he got diverted into it. And how for you and I as God's people, there is to be that determination that we will walk after the Lord, that we will be like these individuals, that we will wholly follow the Lord. The scripture reminds us there in the words of the psalm, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and that ought to be the display of every child of God. Our steps ought to be ordered and guided and directed for him. But day by day, here as we look at Caleb, we see not only the determination, but we see a steadfastness. He's a brave man. He has in the past stood up when the majority was against him. He has in the past stood up when they said one thing and he said, "You're wrong. I believe God can do it." He wasn't afraid to stand. He wasn't afraid to say to them that God can take us into that land, and with God we can conquer the land. He exclaimed at that time, "Let us now go up and possess it." He desired to go on. And that same spirit still resides within him. These 45 years, as it were, have passed. He's no different. He's no more afraid. He's still as bold as he ever was. He had one aim, one purpose, and that was to live for the Lord and to defeat the enemies of God and to rout them from the land of Canaan. This is going back to the covenant with Abraham. There was going to be a land that would be theirs. Whenever you read Genesis, there in that chapter 14, I think it is, they were going to have that portion of land from the river Nile right throughout to the river Euphrates. And that's what was in Caleb's mind. This portion that God has promised, I'm going to have a part of it. Yes, it's a mountain. Yes, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But I'm going to do it because God is with me. So it is for you and I today. We look out in a world and we see much opposition to the things of God. It seems as if men and women today, they don't want to hear the scriptures of truth. It doesn't suit their life. It doesn't suit their plans for the future. And yet it has to be faithfully declared. Its laws have to be expounded. Its commands, its instructions have to be brought out before men and women that they might realize what a holy God demands and the wrath and judgment that will fall upon those that reject his commandments. There needs to be that steadfastness. Here as we look at Caleb, not only is there steadfastness, but there is that faith that he has in God. After they went into the land of Canaan, as we said, he was fixed upon God. What we can do with God with us. You look at Joshua 14 here, the chapter that we're in, and you'll notice again that same spirit is still in his heart and mind. If you look at the end of verse 12, he says there, "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." He wasn't facing this on the basis of his own strength. He wasn't facing this mountain on his experience that he gained over those 85 years. It is good to have experience. It helps in many walks of life. But here his eye was on the Lord. And for you and I as God's people, day by day we need to have our eye fixed upon the Lord. It needs to be his strength that we're depending upon. So often we look at the children of Israel and we see those times when they depended upon their own strength. You think of that occasion when they enter the land. They've conquered the city of Jericho. The walls have fell, and then they come to Ai. And what was the mindset there? It's not very big. It's only a small city. We don't need all the soldiers there. We can let some of them take their ease. We'll just take a small party. They were defeated. There was sin in the camp. But they had become proud in what they could do. And yet we're reminded here that in every aspect of our life, we need the Lord. The scripture reminds us, without me, ye can do nothing. And child of God, how easily it is that we go on well with the Lord and the Lord has been good. And then we suddenly think we can do it on our own and things fall apart. We need the Lord with us day by day. We need to have our faith fixed upon him. We need to have our eye fixed upon that one who is the master of all things. Oh, we look at this character here, Caleb, and we see him going forward, going with the Lord. He's not depending upon his own strength. The psalmist reminds us, and he says, "Vain is the help of the Lord, or vain is the help of man. We can only do it with the help of the Lord." The Apostle Paul could say over there in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Here was a man, and we see that determination, we see that steadfastness, we see that faith that is fixed upon God. We see the wisdom that he displays here. As we view this chapter, we see that he desires the mountain. If his 85 years had taught him anything in the battlefield, it taught him that the high ground, that's the ground to get, that's the ground to hold on to. Jerusalem was a city that was always besieged, and it was the only way it could be captured. It was on the high ground. The enemy couldn't climb up around it. They had to lay siege. They had to force the inhabitants to open the gates. That was the only way they could do it. It was high ground, and here's this man, Caleb, and his desire is for the mountain. Well, as we look at him, we have to say it is, ought to be the same for the child of God. We should desire the mountain, the high ground. It speaks of communion with God. As we read the book of Exodus, we read there of Moses and how he spent those 40 days up on the mountain with the God of heaven. And what a blessed time and blessed fellowship he had around the feet of the most mighty God. We read that when he came down from the mountain, his face shone. That time that he spent with the Lord, it affected his very appearance. So it is for you and I when we spend time with the Lord. It affects us. It affects our conduct, our behavior, our language, every aspect of our being. We read of the Lord during his earthly ministry going up into the mountain there alone to pray. We read of the disciples going up with him there at that time of the transfiguration, Peter and John, and they go up into the mountain, and there they get a view of the Savior that they've never had before. And so it is for the child of God when we get alone with the Lord, when we get into the heavenlies, as it were. Paul tells us about praying, and he was taken up, as it were, into the third heaven, and that's where we desire to be. We desire that as we bend our knee and meet with God, that we might be lifted higher, lifted off this old world, lifted above its obstacles, lifted above its giants, and brought into that sweet presence and communion with God. It's a place to be desired. Place to be coveted. Oh, we look at the scripture, and there we think of those two sisters, Mary and Martha. And you know the story of how Martha complained. She says, "Mary is never helping me. Martha was busy about many things." And the Savior said, "Martha has chosen that good part." What was the good part? It was sitting at the feet of the Savior. And child of God, as we gather in the house of God today, is that not where we ought to be, sitting at the feet of our Savior, learning from Him, being instructed for Him, there on that high ground, as it were, that place on the mountain top, that place of fellowship alone with God? Oh, as we look at this man, we see the wisdom displayed here in his heart and life. We see that ambition, we see that purpose, that plan, not for the name of Caleb, not for his own name to be honored and glorified, but for the God in whom he trusted. He desired that his name would perish, as it were, that the name of God might be known in that land, that Hebron might be an area gained and conquered for the nation of Israel. Oh, as we look at the scripture, we see that time and again. We see that with Joshua. They didn't want to be brought to the forefront. He desired that the Lord would be lifted up. You'll notice how he's described here. He's described as a son of Jephunneh. But Jephunneh seems to belong to an Edomite tribe, as we mentioned earlier. But he's linked in with this man, Caleb. He's described as the father of Caleb. And what a delight that must have been for a father to know the spirit that resided in his son, to know of this man Caleb and his boldness, to know of this man Caleb and his faith and his trust in the God of heaven. Well, could the writer of Proverbs tell us in Proverbs 15 in the verse 20 that a wise son maketh a glad father? Oh, he comes with a petition. He comes with his plea. He comes before Joshua and he says, Joshua, give me this mountain. And we see it was granted. There is that victory that he enjoys because the mountain was given to him there in the verse 13. He takes the mountain, he conquers it. As we read those closing verses of that chapter, we find that Hebron is what it was called. It became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He knew victory. He knew that conquering the giants that were there, they were defeated. Oh, he had the sword, he had the spear, whatever weapon was needed, but he didn't fight in his own strength. Just as we read of Israel in their first battle there in the book of Numbers, while they were battling on the ground, Moses was on the mountain, he was praying, he had the arms outstretched. So it is, if you and I want to know victory in this life, it's not the battle that's won on the ground, it is a battle that's won in the heavenlies. It's a battle that's won at the place of prayer. As we cry unto the Lord and plead and pray with him, that's where the battle is taken forward. That was the case with Caleb here. He goes forward with the Lord by his side. He goes forward following the Lord in every aspect of his life. That obedience to the Lord, it applied to him as an individual. It applied to his home. It applied to his family. It applied to how he viewed the enemy here. He goes forward. And he goes upward. And surely as God's people, as we look at our lives, is that our desire for the future, that as we face the future, that we not only go forward, but that we go upward, that we get closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are conformed more unto his image day by day and hour by hour? That was the case with this man. The mountain that he took here, Hebron. As you look a little later on in the history of the children of Israel, you'll find it became known as a place of refuge. It was numbered amongst the cities of refuge. If a man killed another man in an act of manslaughter, he could flee to a place of refuge. That's what Hebron became. As we think of Hebron here and we think of that place of refuge, it also reminds you and I of another place of refuge. It reminds us of Calvary. And there it is, a place of refuge, a place of safety for sinful, fallen man, that they can flee and know that pardon, that cleansing it is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we've looked at Caleb and the character that he was. We look at his closeness to God. We look at the character that he exhibits. We look at the courage that he displays in all of these matters. And that ought to be the same in our lives. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You can't wholly follow the Lord because you're not converted. Rather, in your life, you're following the old God of this world. You're following the evil one. You're going in the pathway that he would have you to go. You're not seeking after the Lord of heaven. Our prayer today is that you would come to that place called Calvary, that you would come there to that place of refuge, that you would know that one that can save you, that one that can deliver you from your sin, from that eternal destruction in the place of hell that awaits you if you die without Christ. Well, we encourage you today to come to Calvary. Caleb had that experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew him. His master, his Lord, his captain of his life. Friend, is that the case with each one here this morning? You may know about God, but is he ruling, is he reigning in your life and everything? Do you place it before him? Do you seek to know his mind and his will as you plan and contemplate your future? Was the case with Caleb. The scripture reminds us, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's our prayer that that would be the experience of each one in our meeting this morning. That you would seek him first, know him as Savior. Know him as Lord and Master of your life, and in every step that you would take, that you would go with the Lord every step of the way. Here we view a man, Caleb. His desire at his latter years of life was not to settle down and be easy, but his request was, give me this mountain. And might we have that desire today? Might we desire to go forward with the Lord, to know victory with the Lord, and to see his name uplifted and carried forth in this day and age in which we live? Might we be those that want to go forth and tell the unconverted of one who came to seek and to save that which was lost? And might there be that burden in our souls to see the giants of this old world defeated, the giants of sin, the giants of immorality and wickedness, to see them all defeated, and to see Christ uplifted as King and Conqueror in this land in which we reside. May it be the same within each of our hearts, even as we think upon this truth this morning. We trust and pray that the Lord will bless his truth to each of our hearts, and that he might challenge us, each one afresh, regarding the things of God. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer.